I feel like in two different, very different arenas of doing like pretty off the beaten path things, one of the themes through each of these steps is that it's not just about like, what can I get? It's also about what relationships can be initiated and nurtured as this goes along, right? And it really does require you to understand the different kinds of relationships that are available in building community when you're trying to do something big. And it requires you to be aware and to be vulnerable and to make those steps to try to build it as you go along. So I kind of think of there are a lot of different community needs. So those were two examples. I want to talk now about like what are the different needs of the community that you are building or working to knit together.
Hello, hello. You are listening to Your Unapologetic Career. Being a woman of color faculty in academic medicine who wants to make a real difference with your career can be tough. Listen, these systems are not built for us, but that doesn't mean we can't make them work for us. In each episode, I'll be taking a deep dive into one core growth strategy so you can gain confidence and effectiveness in pursuing the dream career you worked so hard to achieve. All you have to do is tune in to Your Unapologetic Career with me, your host, Kemi Dole, physician, surgeon, researcher, coach, and career strategist, for an always authentic, sometimes a little raw, but unapologetically empowering word. I keep it real for you because I want you to win. Okay, I don't know about you, but for me, whenever I'm trying to learn something new or integrate something new in my life, I really need to see it written down. I need a framework to understand how to make it come alive for me, and also so I can adapt it to make it work for me. And that's what I was thinking about when I started writing the KD Coach Foundation newsletters way back in 2019. I spent about 18 months writing these twice a month, thinking about all the ways in which I could communicate really clearly and honestly, briefly, about some career-shifting tactics, strategies, and perspectives that can truly change people's experience of their career. Now, let's be honest, some of these were great, some of them were good, and some of them were just a really good try. But what I've done is compiled them into a digestible format of all of the great ones. I want to be able to keep this knowledge going. I got so many messages over and over again about how much the newsletters were changing people's approach to their productivity, the approach to managing their sanity and their energy during the week, and their approach to thinking about how to translate the goals and the desires of their career into functional, actual actions in their day in and day out experience. If you're interested in any of that, I really encourage you to sign up for our newsletter, the KD Coaching Foundations. It's free 99 and you can sign up at www.kemidole/foundations. Once you sign up, you will get one of these top tier, best performing, most cited newsletters from that period of time in your inbox every 2 weeks. I share these because I know, honestly, a lot of people are never going to sign up for Get That Grant. A lot of people are not going to be able to access the coaching we do because we're unapologetically focused on women of color faculty in academic medicine. But hey, I still want to help our entire field. I want to start a revolution. So if you haven't checked it out yet, definitely sign up at www.kemidole.com/foundations to check out our Career Foundations series. Hello, hello, and welcome back to the podcast episode this week. Welcome new listeners. I'm so glad that you're here. Well, friends, I have to be honest and tell you, I was planning to go live with this on Instagram like last week, like when I was kind of planning things out, and I had a bigger day online than I expected. By the time you hear this, it was last week. What was it? Thursday. I just felt very called to speak about the story of a young Black woman who recently died of cervical cancer. Her name is Jessica Petway. You can Google and look up the story of her. I want to be respectful to her family and friends. I think it's probably just another level of
grief and strange to have just so much public spotlight on the story. So I thought about that before I posted, honestly. And also, I tend to have a pretty firm boundary between, you know, like the research work that I do and the advocacy work around endometrial cancer, which is a cancer of the womb, and Black women and gynecologic health, and what I'm doing online, you know, on Instagram and Facebook and stuff, where I'm talking more about career development and coaching and that side of speaking to the community. But I don't know, over the last few years, I think I've been on this like journey of integration. And it started with like literally just trying to integrate my schedule and like not be a different person on different days and in different meetings, and like really from like an internal place, like feeling very integrated across all the different things that I do. And I do feel very much like that now. That feels like a piece of clear progress where I don't feel fractured between my different endeavors. They are like woven together into the fabric of me, and I feel very solid in that. But the next step after that kind of internal integration work is more external integration work. And I can recognize that the very clear kind of walls I had between each public facet of how I move was for comfort is probably the wrong word, but just for clarity, for me first and then for you all. And also a degree of safety, right? But I think as I've become more internally integrated, and I clearly see the connections between all the work I do, I see the connections between the research and the zeros and ones numbers that I do looking at ultrasounds and endometrial biopsies and cancer diagnoses and treatment plans and all of that stuff, and what I talk to you all about in terms of living your career fully and not being afraid to ask for what you need and tell the truth about your experience and all of those things. So it feels good but scary to keep moving into that more externally integrated space. So that was a really long preamble to tell you that I had a bigger day online than I had planned because I just felt moved to speak about what I see as, it's not just what I see, like what I know, what is clearly there with the very systematic, the very structural, the very cultural, the very interpersonal, the very internal devaluing of the non-pregnant Black womb. And I think that the tragic story of this woman really encompasses multiple ways in which I see that the way that we think about reproductive health, primarily through the lens of pregnancy and contraception, is incredibly ridiculously narrow. And it's been constructed to be that way. And there is so much more to say, learn, and do about gynecologic health across the lifespan. And specifically within Black women, there is a very powerful connection between Black women's gynecologic health and how Black women move through the world. And so I'm excited to be speaking about that more. Anyway, so that happened. So I made a reel. It went on Instagram and it went up. In my small world of my few followers, it blew up and it was good. I mean, I was happy to see people like sharing it and engaging with it and talking about how like, okay, I'm going to go schedule my exam. Like I have not been in 6 years and you're right. I need to go get myself checked out. And like, that meant a lot, but it also was energetically draining for me. That's not the world that I'm in all the time. And so this planned Instagram live where, you know, sometimes I live stream this podcast, I decided like, I'm just going to record it tomorrow. So it's now Friday in the quiet comfort of my little office in my little basement and just post it for you all next week. So that was the journey to this episode and its format. So what are we going to talk about? I want to talk about building community as a missing step to project achievement. And this is going to be like a meta version of some of this integration that I was just talking about. So first of all, I think that often, I think as high achieving women of color, I think that as academic faculty members, I think folks who are in academic medicine in particular that have integrated clinician and researcher lives, it's just really, really easy to skip over and not actually learn how to build community as a very tangible, active part of you moving towards a big project, moving towards achievement in whatever arena that you're working towards. So whether it's a grant submission, whether it's a paper, whether it's just, it's a big research study, multi-year research study, like whatever it is, whether it's working towards your promotion, I just going to say, like, we're very bad at this. Like, I feel comfortable saying we are bad at this as being in the we, as being in the community of academic faculty and medical centers and at public health, but also as somebody who runs a coaching company that has coached hundreds of women across the country at all types of different institutions, we're terrible at this. I think that there are very clear reasons why. I mean, I think humans in general are pretty naturally formed community. I mean, that's part of the reason why we keep having wars, but that's another, that's like a side. I don't want to get into that. I was told that my last episode was like a very jarring back and forth between like existential crisis and like productivity tips. So I'm going to try to keep it focused this time. But I think that first of all, part of the reason why I think we're a little anemic or we struggle with this is that, first of all, we have a built-in community for like a really long time, like deep into adulthood. So when you go through grad school, including PhD, even a postdoc, when you go through medical training, school, and then residency, and then a fellowship train, and then all of that, you talking like deep into your mid to, for some of us, late 30s, where you have a built-in structured community that is very rigid and really like school. I mean, what you do all day is not like school, but in terms of the structure of this person is a first year, this person is a second year, this person is a third year, it means that we don't have to think about it. We don't really have to do it. And there's this powerful other structure that is kind of doing it for us. And whether we like that built-in community or not doesn't matter. The point is it's there and it's very omnipresent. So that's one reason we're not great at it. The second reason is that as we move into facultyhood, as we move into independence, there's also really confusing messaging about community as faculty, because you get in and it's like, we're all one big happy family, which is weird because I'm like, I don't know that we need to be applying the word family to work relationships, but that's a separate conversation. But there's a lot of confusing messaging because it's like, oh, you're here, you're in the group, you're with us. But pretty early on, one of the challenges as people navigate their careers is that they believe that. They're like, okay, yeah, like we're a big happy community, but like there are all these silos of conversation, but there's a deep lack of transparency of how things actually work. Like you walk into a conference, you know, or a space that's like, oh, this is a space that's supposed to support this kind of faculty, early career, or faculty of color, or whatever, whatever. And it's like completely not curated. And there's like a lot of mixed messages going on. And so that part, just the idea of like, oh, community, I think for a lot of us, our early experiences and continuing on, it starts to take on a veneer of like BS. You know, and I'm not saying that it's bad. I'm not saying it's like toxic, but it's just, it's not substantive. So we're just like, okay, whatever. Like community is like the little sprinkle on top, but like it's not a real tangible thing that is helping me through my career. So I think that superficiality then leads us to actually not knowing how to assess for community. So instead of a situation where it's like, okay, you had this built-in community, it was very clear, and then you left it and you have no community. In that sense, you would know, okay, I got to figure out who my friends are. Like I have to really build this tangible support system around me. But because we actually do go into these faculty positions and there's the vocabulary of community, we skip over the like, oh, I need to build this. We take that at face value. That turns out to be not really what we all need. And so then we just define academic community as something that's not really helpful. What I'm trying to say is that it basically like it obscures the fact that we need to learn how to do this skill. It obscures that need. And so we don't actually learn how to assess for community. So we don't start trying because we're like, well, here it is and it's not that great. So let me keep it pushing, right? So we end up settling for a fake community. We ended up settling for a very superficial quote unquote community. And I just want to say, like, I was absolutely in this boat. I mean, I would go to the gatherings. I would go to the meetings. But in my head, I'm like, y'all know me. Like, I'm not sharing anything that matters here. For what? Right? Like, I get it. But I had to learn to do it as a requirement. I was reluctant. I really did. And I started doing it thinking, like, I just know that I need this to be able to like move this project forward or whatever. But now I can say I really do it with pleasure. I'm not necessarily saying I'm perfect at it, but I know that it's something that brings a lot of joy to my life. So a few examples of building community from my own experience. Like, you know, I'm an endometrial cancer researcher. That's a cancer of the lining of the womb. And when I started researching this area in 2013, basically, in 2013, I remember multiple mentors telling me, like, are you sure you want to focus on this? Because, you know, there's a lot more money in ovarian cancer, or maybe you should look at more cancer, da da da, like all of this stuff. And I think they were all well-meaning. They were just telling me, like, there's not a lot here. Like, you say you want to go fishing, but like, you're fishing in a creek where there are no fish. Like, maybe you need to go look in another area that is more well-funded, that has more interest, that has more prominence, etc. But I was following what I knew was really important to me, which is that there was something going on here with endometrial cancer, and there was a lot of opportunity for us to make a big difference. However, I did feel very alone. I wanted to look at health equity with regard to this cancer. The well-worn path of health equity did not include, in general, gynecologic cancers, but definitely not endometrial cancer. So I started to take steps to really, the way I thought of it was like I was just closing like these knowledge or need gaps. But when I look back, I realize, oh no, you were actually creating community. You know, so like one, I met with kind of a vanguard expert in health equity, where I just remember reading their work and being like, I have a sense that when you were writing this and trying to get it published, people were probably like, what the hell are you talking about? And that's how I feel right now. So I want to meet with you because I want to understand like what helped you through that transition and what it felt like to be knitting together something that like just literally didn't exist. I saw a similar creativity there. And so meeting with them and hearing more about their process and then also actually showing them my work and looking, that allowed me a connection to see a future in what I was doing. And this was distinct from mentorship. This is really like, okay, I can see that I am not the only one trying to do something like this in this space. I started to deliberately make connections with people where I could dialogue about health equity specifically. So it didn't matter that they didn't know like my specific lane, but the fact that they were comfortable in the health equity space allowed me to be in conversation about health equity, which improved my ability to converse about health equity. This is why you just can't sit in your room, sit in your office and think like it all is going to come from there. I needed to be in dialogue so I could identify more of my gaps. I could figure out like, oh, I never thought about it this way or that way. And even more so, oh, this is the most important part about the dialogue, is that you start to say things out loud that you have only thought. And in saying them out loud, you realize their power. You realize what you've got, not just because of somebody else's reaction, but you hear yourself and you're like, wait, that's good. Wait, stop. Let me write down what I just said. So that was another component. Here's the other thing. I did not blow past recognizing that there was availability and people willing to support me that were totally outside this area of expertise. They know nothing about endometrial cancer. They know nothing about health equity. But they're like, you seem smart. You seem like you know what you're doing. You seem like you're trying to go somewhere. I think you should be successful, even though I don't know anything about this. Now, I could have, because at the time, when you are trying to do something and nobody's doing it, nobody knows, and there's no mentors and there's no whatever, it's so easy to have like terminal uniqueness. I learned that from the Enneagram. Right? Like to have this sense of like, well, nobody knows my particular plight. Like I'm all alone. And like, even if that's true, staying in that like ruminating space gets you nowhere. So instead of reacting to people who were like, who clearly seemed to like respond well to me and want to support me, even though they had no idea what I was doing, I latched on to them. I built off those connections and was like, okay, great. I'm glad you have know nothing about what I'm doing, but I recognize that I'm going to need some bolstering. There are going to be times where like, I just need some like, yes, go do it. Yes, this is a good idea. Or I don't even know if this is a good idea, but like, this is how I would approach giving a presentation at this conference if you've never been there before type thing. So recognizing support systems outside of the area of expertise is critical. Because sometimes you actually are done talking about something. You're like, I literally cannot, I don't want to read about it. I don't want to talk about it anymore. But you need to be around somebody who can still motivate you to keep going outside of the specific like content of the project or the area. And then finally, and I don't want to skip over this part because you know me, I'm a rigor girl. I took classes for knowledge awareness and to improve my expertise. I understood that passion is important. Intention is important. I actually firmly believe that when you have desires planted in your heart, that's like a divine thing that you need to follow. But like, that's not it. I also wanted to learn. I wanted to know. Like, I needed to read books. I needed to take classes. I needed to read papers. I needed to interrogate other ways people had tried to wrangle this issue of gender and race and health. And that is a really important piece. And I put it here in community because when you do that, you will also build deeper community exactly in the space you want to, because you will have the vocabulary and the language and the understanding to be able to dialogue. I mean, not to be spicy, but like sometimes people come up to me or reach out and they like want to be in dialogue. And my response is like, you need to go read more. You need to go learn more. That's not trying to be facetious. It's not trying to be standoffish, but it's like, you're not going to get anything out of this conversation if all I'm doing you is teaching you things you can Google. So you need to go read more, right? So that's an important step so that you can get into the community. You can continue to deepen the community that will support you in your endeavors. So that was one example, endometrial cancer research. Another example is when I got into coaching. By the time I was like, oh my God, I think I'm going to get into coaching, I recognized this like, okay, I'm not going to do this by myself. So like, I did recognize that. I didn't like it. I can tell you that. I did not like it, but I did recognize it. And so some of you have heard this story before. I have to say, like, if you want to hear the whole long story, there's an episode of Jerisha Hawk's podcast that I'm on that I talk about this. I will link the episode in the show notes. This is the very, very short version. But for the purpose of looking at the community building, like the first thing I did, also, I think because I'm an academic, I'm like a knowledge girl. The first thing I did, I was like, I'm signing up for a class. Like, I think I want to do coaching. I think I have things to say. I actually thought I really wanted to do some public speaking about career development. So I actually started with a public speaking course. And through that course, realized like I have a lot more to say. Like, this is not a keynote. This is way beyond a keynote. But that course still very much supported me in thinking about what the crystallizing the primary ideas. Shout out to Lovey Ajayi Jones, because she was one who ran that public speaking course. And then once I realized like, oh no, this is actually coaching. This isn't just like a talk that I would give. Then I realized like, okay, I want to coach, but I know nothing about actually like selling coaching. I don't know how to like sell services. I'm an academic. Like, what is that? I don't know that world at all. Now, it's like, not only do I not do that, I'm not an entrepreneur. I'm a physician. I'm a surgeon. I'm a gynecologic oncologist. Like, I'm an academic one at that. So I have like decided fully to abdicate all business aspects of medical care delivery. Like, I'm gonna be in the university. Y'all just give me my W-2, right? Just so I knew there was a lot I needed to learn about that. So I signed up for Jerisha Hawk's like very intro services that sell, like just how I learned how to understand the concept of how to package and value services that you have. And so those were two community building steps, because now I'm in rooms with people who are doing the same thing. But for me, it was mostly about learning. Like, I wasn't really talking. I mean, there were a few people I was connecting with, but I wasn't really talking with a lot of people. I was just like downloading information because I needed to have some validity for me to be able to then move into conversation and create relationships with people. That's how I work. And if you work that same way, then I encourage you to use the knowledge building as your first step to community, but don't skip community altogether. Then I started to do some early, I call them just like informational meetings, where I would just like meet with the kind of people that I thought I could help, but not in a salesy way, just in a like, let's just chit chat about like your career, what's going on. And then this is what I'm trying to do. Be really honest. Like, this is what I'm trying to do. I'm not there yet, but I'm going to be doing this and I want to learn and understand your perspective or whatever. Those early conversations, like literally 2 or 3 of those early conversations have created like multi-year relationships that I am incredibly grateful for, because I was willing to be clear about what I wanted to do, even though I hadn't done it yet, reach out to people that I thought would be helpful, could provide some good information, and be totally honest with where I was, what I was looking for, and how I thought I could help. And people respond to that when you are clear and there's logic to why you're reaching out to them in particular. So those early informational meetings were also critical for community building. And then I joined like an actual coaching community, you know? And so through joining a coaching community, I was able to make relationships and have relationships with other people who were doing coaching in other arenas. And once again, I could have just stayed in the world of, well, everybody here is selling business coaching, or everybody here is selling, you know, whatever. Like, nobody else is an academic. Nobody else is also a faculty member. Nobody else, da da da. Like, I could just have stayed in terminal uniqueness land, but it would not have served me. And instead, I was focused on what is similar. What are the things I can talk about here in this group of other people walking a coaching journey, figuring out how to build a coaching business that's going to serve me so well going forward? And that's going to help me when I fall on my butt, when I fail, when stuff doesn't work out, when I try something, I'm like, wow, that fell totally flat. So important. And then finally, I did a coach training program really at the end. So it's really different from my research where it's like I started with learning and then built community. I feel like this one is like I was learning, building community, but I didn't do coach training until really deep into it. But that still was a place where I made new connections. So having said all that is like, I feel like in two different, very different arenas of doing pretty off the beaten path things, one of the themes through each of these steps is that it's not just about like, what can I get? It's also about what relationships can be initiated and nurtured as this goes along, right? And it really does require you to understand like the different kinds of relationships that are available in building community when you're trying to do something big. And it requires you to be aware and to be vulnerable and to make those steps to try to build it as you go along. So I kind of think of there are a lot of different community needs. So those were two examples. I want to talk now about like what are the different needs of the community that you are building or working to knit together. And you've heard me talk about this before, but one for sure is people who can hold the vision with you. You need people who can hold the vision with you. Honestly, sometimes these people, they're not necessarily experts. They might not be able to actually do anything for you, but they are the people who can hold the vision with you, especially when you're not sure. Number two, you need people who know the journey, who are on the journey with you. They know the journey with you so they can celebrate with you along the way. Like, you need the people who are willing to celebrate the tiny wins, the small leaps forward, not just the big moment. That's not everybody. I see some people fail because they expect, for example, the faculty community to celebrate every small little thing along the way, and they realize like nobody cares and you feel pretty lonely, right? Or vice versa, people have people around them that would be interested and eager to hear about their journey so they could celebrate with them, but they don't share anything because they're so used to being hyper independent that the only thing they ever share is like the big win. And if you're like that, I have been like that. So I know y'all are out there. If you're like that, what I know happens, because I have felt this too, is that when you do that, when you finally do get the big win and then people celebrate with you, it does not feel as good as you thought it would, because the relationship is not there, because the journey has not been there. And it's such a shitty feeling. So let's not do that. Another need that community fills are people that are just happy to be deployed to help you. And this is like, again, this is something that I can honestly tell you, I literally did not believe that these people existed just because of, you know, some personal life experiences, my own journey, because of the ways that I adapted to be able to achieve and move forward in life. You know, all the things that I have been able to do. I mean, to complete a biomedical engineering program as one of the few Black people in the whole school, to get into an Ivy League medical school, to match into an extremely, extremely competitive subspecialty where there are very, very, very few Black physicians. Like, I have been so hyper independent for so long that I had to actually learn like step by step through evidence, honestly, through like arguing with the logic in front of me, that there are people that are happy to help you. Not people who have to help you. Not people who will help you because they want something from you. Not people who are only interested in transactional. Not people who are helping you waiting to exploit you later. But there are actually people who are happy to simply help you just because they want to, because they believe in what you do, because they want to support the mission, because they're excited to be a part of it in whatever way they can. They're happy to be deployed to help you. You will not find these people if you don't want to intentionally build community. I'll tell you right now, you won't find them because they're not going to bother you. That's another need that community fills. And then finally, and the one I think that sometimes is the only one that we see when we haven't thought about this more intentionally, is that there's that looser, larger community that does see your work. And, you know, casual fans are like, yeah, this is great. You know, they're going to put a heart on the screen. They're going to share a post. And we don't want to devalue that because that matters too. They're in a way, in a small step for each person, but something that aggregates larger in the total. It fulfills a need that tells you, yes, what you're doing is valid. What you're doing is meaningful. What you're doing is needed. What you're doing is valuable. And that does matter. But sometimes I think people, the way that that can go wrong is when people don't have any of the other needs met that I just went through. All they have is the looser, larger community, and then we're in trouble. Because then we're trying to use likes, and we're trying to use applause when you give a talk, and we're trying to use reviewer comments on your grant. We're trying to use these very, very distal connections to fulfill very, very proximal needs. And that does not work. All right, so having said all that, I hope you've heard some different strands, tendrils that you can pull on, some different threads that you can pull on where you might have gaps in your community around the work that you are trying to do. Holding the vision, knowing your journey and celebrating with you, happy to be deployed to help you, and the larger community that sees your work. To be clear, I hope I'll say it explicitly now. This is not like all the same person, right? Like, in fact, I think that these roles are filled by different people, which is why the deliberateness of building community is important. So having said that, I gave you two examples of like in the past, how I have reluctantly and by accident built community in my endeavors in being a scientist and studying health equity and gynecologic health issues and entering into coaching and professional development space and really not wanting to just help people one-on-one, really wanting to make a shift in the culture, a shift in the entire narrative of professional development for academic faculty in medicine and public health. And now I am venturing, well, I'm not really venturing because I've been in it, but I'm in a new journey of writing my first book. Woo woo! Air horns, excitement, excitement. So this is not new news for those of you who have been listening to the podcast for a while, been following me, who are subscribed to my newsletter. I first mentioned it actually almost a year ago, y'all, when we celebrated the 100th episode of the podcast and my friend Monique interviewed me. That was such a vulnerable episode. I don't know why I just brought it up because it's now made me feel self-conscious. But anyway, so shared a little bit back then, but I'm doing the same thing. Essentially, what I want to share with you is I'm doing the same thing. I was like, okay, I want to write a book. Okay, I have this idea that like, I can't really imagine any other way to like convey it than through a book. Like that it is complex, it's layered, it's deep, it's emotional, but it's a lot of knowledge. It's all these things. I'm like, I need to write a book about this. So first of all, I shared it with my close friends. I shared that desire with people who can hold the vision with me before I talk myself out of it. You know, I started to think about what are my knowledge gaps. You know me, I'm the knowledge girl. So I joined a online community course thing to learn more about writing books and publishing. This was Lovie Ajayi Jones's Book Academy. Shout out to Lovie. I love how she like is constantly trying to get knowledge out there to people. It's like so helpful. But that was so good for knowledge, awareness, community. There were so many norms I didn't understand about publishing. There was just so much there. Super helpful. I had targeted informational sessions about this journey of like, okay, I think I want to write a book. Like when you were back here, what was that like? I hope that sounds familiar from like my early endometrial cancer research days. Have built new relationships around this project, around this desire. And now part of the reason why I'm sharing this with you is that I'm recognizing that I'm ready to build that community that's with me on the journey and that can celebrate with me. And that might be some of you listening to this podcast right now, because the truth is this book scares me to write. Like, that's why I know it's so important for me to do, because it's terrifying. It's terrifying. But at the same time, it also feels like freedom. And that has been the ingredient, like that mixture has been a true north for me. It is scary. It's terrifying. And it feels like freedom. That's the direction that I go. It incorporates all of myself, incorporates my story, my knowledge, my passions, like all of those things. And yeah, I'm really excited to embark on it, but I have absolutely no interest in doing it alone. So I have moved further in my community building journey, and I am building community out loud, out loud. So I want to tell you right now that I'm going to be sharing my journey of this whole process of writing this book and delivering it to the world, starting with why I'm writing it and what the book is about. Like, what are we talking about though, Kemi? So if you're interested in that, keep listening. There's going to be a link in the show notes to sign up for the Book Journey newsletter, which definitely needs a better title. But like, it's essentially raising your hand and saying, yes, I want to be in the group that knows about the book and that is like with you along the way. You will get newsletter updates about my journey, opportunities to celebrate like the little small wins and maybe commiserate with me a little bit. To be honest, I got to be a full person. But certainly as we get closer, you know, giveaways, meetups, like all of the fun things, and potentially even influence what's in the book. I mean, really, I plan to be in dialogue with you all. Once again, as a hyper-independent person in recovery, I can tell you, I'm like, I'm never doing anything alone again. Okay? I'm not doing that. I'm going to work this ask muscle, A-S-K muscle, and we're going to do this together. So I am really excited to do this with all of you who are interested. I'm going to tell you that by the time this episode publishes, we will have a link that will be in the show notes. So wherever you're listening to this, go to the notes where you can click that link and sign up to be a part of the Book Journey crew. If you don't already, come and find me on Instagram, especially right now, Kemi Doll, K-E-M-I-D-O-L-L, my government name. I'll be posting updates there as well. Share this episode with somebody who you think, you know, might also want to be a part of the crew. And if you, wherever you are in your academic faculty journey, whether you're just beginning, whether it's coming for you, whether you are just mired in a project that is trying to kill you, like wherever you are, whether you just got a huge win or you are like reeling from a really painful rejection, like I just want to encourage you to think about the categories of community I discussed and think about like, do you have people in all of those areas? And if not, what can you do about it? All right. Thank y'all for listening. I love you and I mean it. Take care. Hey there. To be honest, this is uncomfortable for me, but here's the thing. I am getting used to leaning into discomfort. So here is my request for you. I am unapologetically asking you for something. If you listen to this podcast episode and it resonated for you and it was helpful for you, can you double check and see if you follow our podcast on your platform? Make sure that you follow us or subscribe so that you never miss an episode and you don't have to worry about hearing from somebody else that an episode was good because it will just automatically download to your device. Here's another thing that would be amazing. If you haven't yet, I would really appreciate if you go on your podcast platform to rate our podcast and to post a review if you love it. It does actually make a difference to people being able to find this podcast who similarly would appreciate the content. And basically, I would appreciate it a lot. So thanks for listening. I do this because I want us all to be in community with an elevated level of conversation. And I hope that you follow us, you like our episodes, and you consider leaving a rating and review if you haven't yet. Thanks so much. Take care. Bye.